in the beginning in Genesis, right? God, we understand, we learn, creates all creation, all living things, all life, the swimming things, the flying things, the creepy crawling things upon the earth, even us, the mountains, the rivers are cut through the land that is created, and the light begins with light, of course, right? But what do we know about this infinite source on the seventh day? Rest. Rest. The infinite source of the universe needs a day of rest. Why would we think we don't? So I'm here to remind you today of that significant thing we call Sabbath, which means take rest, essentially, or Shabbat in Hebrew, a time of rest. Because when we do, then we enter into the rhythm of the universe once again, the rhythm of life once again. We flow with divine life when we take moments of rest. You know, in music, the rest is so important. Not so much just the music, but the space between. In breath, when we inhale, at the top of the inhalation, there's a pause before the exhalation. And there's a pause after exhaling before we inhale. In that pause, we drop into the infinite presence. In that pause is when we connect with the very presence of spirit. Musicians that create music for movies say they purposely have the crescendo of music, and so at the top there's a space of rest, and it's in there that important dialogue happens, important things happen, is there is a natural understanding that we have of the importance of not just action, but the rest that then propels the action forward. Yet we live in a world that moves so fast and scatters our attention so much that after a while we think, well, maybe I don't really need any rest, or maybe I don't need so much rest. Or maybe we don't even consciously think about that. We're just in the rhythm of the world instead of the rhythm of underlying life, of spiritual life, of earth itself. You know, so somehow a friend of mine used to say, it used to be that the cadence of life, the sound that we lived to, was the clip-clop of horses and the sound of the stagecoach wheel. You know, that sound. And now it's buzzing everything, right? Buzzing electronics, buzzing refrigerators, buzzing microwaves and devices. And there's a completely different cadence to our sounds, our actions, our way of life. So what is it that we can do for ourselves to rest? And what is the paradoxical gift in that is that it can bring forth a greater sense of aliveness, right? That out of rest can come this really sense of passion and fire lit, or a sense of just being alive and with that one in the sync of the drumbeat of life. So years ago, in my first professional job, I worked in a public relations organization called Ogilvy & Mather. And I took a leave of absence to go to Africa to travel with a friend of mine who was finishing her Peace Corps volunteer service of 3 years she was in. And so when I came back, I was seated in Mary Lou's office. Mary Lou was the CEO, and it was a really big corner office, and Mary Lou was at her glass top desk, like way across the room. And there I was just seated, you know. And she looks with her little half glasses at me and says, "Leisure becomes you." And you know, I think what Mary Lou saw was a suntan. I don't think she had a context to know what she was really looking at, because underneath my business suit was a resurrected body, was an alive soul. I could still smell the dust of the earth. I could still see the coastal plains and feel the beating heat on my face. I could still experience those moments of seeing wild animals or the vast starry sky up above. That's what I was living and breathing, right? I remember this moment when a gazelle, a wild gazelle, and I locked eyes. And the gazelle was a little distance away, like maybe to the outside doors. And at first, my first breath was wonder and awe and beauty. And my second breath was, ooh, should I be afraid? I don't know what a gazelle does. I'm not sure. And then I wondered, what is she seeing? Because our eyes are locked. What is she experiencing? Is it wonder? Is it danger? And there was just this aliveness. Maybe she too is feeling the wild beating of her heart as she looks at me. So that was what I was sitting with when Mary Lou said that. And no, Mary Lou, this is not the look of leisure. This is a look of a soul that has been reopened, reconnected, remembered, back to that place where the roots of humanity are in the continent of Africa, synced back to the drumbeat of life. That's what we are experiencing there. Because I didn't know it at the time, I didn't even have words for it, I had been on a sabbatical. A sabbatical is a time of Sabbath, and Sabbath simply means to rest. A time of rest. When we give ourselves those gifts, wonders ever cease of what can come for us, what can be remembered for us, what can be revitalized in us. There's a Japanese saying that when I come down from the mountaintop back into the marketplace, I still carry the mountaintop under my skirts. And so these moments of sabbatical or Sabbath or rest that we give ourselves are carried with us back into maybe the busy cadence of life, but we don't have to be caught up in it. We can be the beacon of light and rest and peace and offering in how we show up as we live and breathe the life breath of spirit and offer to others the opportunity for them to rest, for them to find themselves again, for them to remember their roots, both human and spiritual. Remembering this, the sacredness of life, happens through our senses, through our sensory experience and our sensual bodies. So often in our religions, we've been separating for centuries, right? We've separated the body out of the experience of religion and made the body, the flesh, seem less than, right? Even sinful. This idea that the flesh is something to be not treated well, let's say. But it is this body temple. It is through the body and through the senses and through this experience that we come back into our wholeness, come back into the fullness of understanding and remembrance of who we are. So my time in Africa, that was this Sabbath, is one way to take it, but there are so many ways in everyday life, right, that we can allow ourselves. If you just dream for a moment of where you'd like to be in your time of rest or how you would like to be being in that time of rest, you might imagine something very simple, lying in a field, digging in your garden, sitting in the shade of a tree. It can be these kinds of simple offerings to ourselves, unplugging from your device for a day. Oh, an hour. I have a friend that does that too. She's every week, I see, you know, if I email her, I see, she's in her 24-hour unplug period. And it's a beautiful gift, right? That we give ourselves when we do these things. Imagine if we all did that. Imagine if the whole world had an hour or a day where we unplugged from our devices. We wouldn't know what to do with ourselves. What? Face-to-face communication? Or this kind of awakening, right, again, of the earth and the body and our senses. Sometimes we are thirstier than others for rest. Right? And some of us might be more thirsty than others at any given time for craving this kind of silence and restoration time. when Jesus was sitting with the Samaritan woman at the well, he said to her, "If you had asked me for a drink, I would have given you living water, and you would never thirst again." And she says, "Give me some of this living water," right? Isn't that what we do when we become aware of the presence of Spirit and what it does for us when we come into alignment, when we feel that presence, when we know that presence, when it animates our being, we say, "Give me some more of that. I want some more of that living water because it quenches my desire for connectedness. It quenches my vitality. Everything that I am longing for is fulfilled in that." And rest, Sabbath, pause, spiritual practice can give us exactly that which we thirst for. Rest and reflection flows through us like living waters, like the pour yourself in me, right? It flows through us and revitalizes every part of our being, renews us when we cease from doing and just give ourselves beingness. I used to ask Brenly when we were first dating, "What are you going to do on your day off?" And she'd say, "Whatever I want." That is so golden, isn't it? To have unstructured time, to say, you know, "I'm not going to run here and run there and meet this person and do that, but I'm just going to, whatever I want, I'm going to wake up and decide whatever I want is going to guide me through my day. Oh, I'm feeling thirsty for that right now. I don't know about you." And you know what scientists say when we're thirsty? We're already dehydrated. Yeah. So when we feel thirsty, let that be a sign that we are overdue for rest. We are overdue for Sabbath. And it's time to give it to ourselves now. Not tomorrow, not next week. So what can we do for ourselves today? What can we offer ourselves today? A moment, an hour, a full day, a half day, an afternoon. It doesn't matter about time. That's a human construct anyway. It's just entering into Kairos time, right? The infinite time, not Chronos time. And knowing whatever, when we feel fulfilled, we feel fulfilled. Giving ourselves the open space. So from Friday at sundown to Saturday at sundown, probably many of you know about the traditional Jewish Shabbat or Sabbath time. One time I was with the Jewish author Mirabai Starr and a group of people, and she invited us to experience the ritual that she did for Shabbat on Friday night. And being the poet that she is, it was kind of infused with a sort of poetry. It was very beautiful. So we had gathered outdoors in this very sacred place, and there was a loaf of beautiful bread, but we couldn't see it yet because it was covered. And she said, "Everybody, cover your eyes." So we all covered our eyes, and she said, "I'm going to unveil the bread now. That's why I want you to cover your eyes out of respect for her." And when she unveiled the bread, we were allowed to unveil our eyes, and we all collectively gasped, "She's so beautiful. The bread of life, Mother Earth herself, the body." And it was just suddenly, you know, infused, it seemed like, with a golden light. Just like in Christian communion, it was just a little bite of bread that we took together and a little sip of wine. But it was so different than just, you know, taking a big slice of bread, throw it in your toaster and smearing it with your favorite spread and eating it while you walk out the door, you know. It was a completely different experience. I mean, when was the last time you ate? And when was the last time you communed while you ate? Very different, right? Consuming versus communing. And yet this is something we do all the time. And so it gives us an opportunity throughout our day, if you're a 3-meal-a-day plus snacks kind of person, or however often you eat, every time having an opportunity to pause, to bless your food, to give thanks to the plants and the animals that gave of their life, to give thanks to the farmers who grew it and the distributors, to all that happened to bring this to your table, to bring this to your mouth, to the ability to bring it to your mouth, to savor those flavors like it's communion. And you know what? When we do that, we don't need so much because it is so fulfilling. It is so complete. But when we're running, well, then that's a little bit different story. My mom keeps telling me I eat too fast, and she's right. What is the hurry? Why are we all in such a hurry? What is it that we are chasing after or being chased by? Do you ever wonder? What is that constant push, much like in the song? It's that sense of worthiness, perhaps, that we're chasing, or a sense of some kind of outer treasure that we think if we finally get to the finish line, we'll get it. But it's here, it's now. Jesus said, wherever your heart is, there is your treasure also. It's in this space, it's in this portal that we find our treasure, not something that's pushing us ahead or way out in front of us. And so it's by the stillness, by the presence, by the stopping, by the pausing that we come to know again. And even just eating. We are what we eat, but more importantly, we are how we eat, the consciousness with which we eat. I love to eat pretty food. I love eating the rainbow of vegetables and fruits and the color, and that even fulfills me when it's on the plate. When I slow down enough, I can really take that in. I also love chocolate. Do you love chocolate or some kind of sweets? Yeah. So a friend of mine said, you know, it's not really about what we eat. It's about the way in which we eat it. So if you're eating chocolate or ice cream or whatever your favorite thing is, and you eat it with guilt, then you're consuming guilt. But if you eat it with bliss, take in the bliss, right? Yeah, so it's all about, and this is such a great, eating is such a great practice because we do it so often, just like interacting with water is such a common thing that we're constantly in interaction with. These are the simple ways, you know. This constant speed is often we'll say things like, I'm falling behind. You ever say that? Or I'm getting ahead of myself. What do we mean? We mean my body, my spirit, and my mind are disconnected right now. That my mind is way ahead of my body, and I'm not being kind to my body, so it just can't catch up. It's getting exhausted. And so it's a coming together that we give that opportunity by coming into wholeness, just by the pause, just by the allowing. And even if you're not in a big hurry these days, there's still an opportunity to sink more deeply into the sacredness of life through simple means. Take, for example, Mary Oliver's poem. She makes her way to God through a slice of melon in this poem from her book, Thirst. Every morning, she says, I want to kneel down on the garden. I'm sorry, I'm starting over. It's important to get the right words here. Every morning, I want to kneel down on the golden cloth of the sand and say some kind of musical thanks for the world that is happening again, another day. From the shawl of wind coming out of the west to the firm green flesh of the melon lately sliced open and eaten its chill and ample body, flavored with mercy. I want to be worthy of what? Glory. Yes, unimaginable glory. Oh, Lord of melons, mercy. I am climbing toward you. Imagine if we approached every slice of melon with that kind of poetry, with that kind of infusion of life, with that kind of recognition that we are reaching for Mother Earth, for nature, for spirit, for God itself, for spiritual nourishment, for soul nourishment. And then we take it in that way. I am going to eat differently this afternoon, and I hope you all will too. So remembering can be as simple as remembering our basic needs. Sabbath can be a practice that is simple as taking in our need for rest, our need for sleep, our need for food, our need for water and shelter, and just simple things, right? breath. Breath. Very breath of life. How many of us practice breath, mindful breathing, right? Through Tai Chi and yoga and mindfulness and meditation. And just that moment, one breath, can bring us back into sync with divine flow. Just one conscious breath. But we take one and it feels so good, we take another, and then we take another, and before you know it, our life becomes the cadence of meditation, of the breath of life. We realize as we move through the world that God is breathing us. And then we move through the world in this effortless, grace-filled way because we are full of the breath of life. That's Sabbath. That's really taking in Sabbath. Do you want to take a nice mindful breath together? Yeah. Let's breathe in through the nose. And then just pause at the top for a moment. In complete stillness. And then breathe out through the mouth. Maybe with a big sigh. Oof. Just that. You just practice Sabbath. So we can also use the elements of the earth. You know, we are made of earth. We are, the body is earth, right? So our body is earth. Our breath is like the thoughts that we have. Water is emotional. Air is the very breath we breathe. So if we think in fire, the innate spirit, if we think in terms of the elements, we can use these as structure or guide for more ideas about a Sabbath and spiritual practice in this way of with the idea of rest and renewal in mind. If you think of the earth and just making physical connection with the earth, digging in the earth, gardening, lying in a field, walking barefoot on a beach, all of these things bring us into that kind of sacred connection and remembrance, return us to our true selves and the rhythm of life. Years ago at a fall fundraiser, a very generous couple who happens to be sitting in the second row was giving their timeshare away, and they gave a few days of their own week at the timeshare to Brenly and I. And to our, it was in the area of Lake Tahoe, and to our surprise, when we arrived, we both love a hammock, and there was this big hammock in the middle of the courtyard under the aspen trees that, you know, the trees that shimmer? Yeah. So we got in that hammock, and the big surprise was we spent all afternoon there. I mean, like 4 hours we laid in this hammock watching the shimmer of the aspen trees and the blue sky above and the light playing off of it. I happened to have a copy of the Tao Te Ching with me at the time, so occasionally I would pull it out and read a verse. But we didn't even need that because it was so connecting, so renewing. And that's what Sabbath can do for us in partnership as well. It can renew our relationships. It can revitalize us to pause together. So Walt Whitman said, "I sing the body electric." What did he mean? There's all kinds of, if you go online, you'll see all kinds of chats and ideas. What did he mean? I sing the body electric. But here's the thing, we'll never understand it from here because there's so many things we try to intellectually understand that are based in the wisdom of the body and the sensuous nature of the body that is what Sabbath is really all about gets awakened, and then we understand from the body, oh, I understand what that's like to sing the body electric, right? You feel the sense of the rising energy when we have that sense of connection. You feel the movement that might make you want to dance or make you move your feet upon the earth and sort of massage the earth. There's that sense of aliveness that comes. I sing the body electric. It can only be known, really, through the wisdom of the cells of the body, not so much through the thoughts of the mind. So rest, connection to earth can resurrect us. Fire, lighting a candle, gathering around a fire, These things are ways that we can practice Sabbath, watching the dancing flames of the candle, meditating upon that, reflecting upon that, sharing a poem with each other around a fire, or a story that everybody has a pause to drink it in. So it's not just busy conversation, but it has that sense of landing. So it's those kinds of experiences. Using water is super easy because we interact with water all the time, right? Brushing and washing and drinking and all of those things can become sacred practice of Sabbath. We're not just washing our hands now. We're blessing our hands. We're blessing the water. We're feeling the water as it runs over our hands. We're feeling the cleansing experience of that, the refreshing renewal of that. Our cells start to feel alive again. All of that happens through the consciousness shift that says, oh, this is practice. I'm not just washing my hands. So it's all those experiences that come alive for us, connection and vitality through water. We all know about Masaru Emoto's work of, well, I don't know if we all do, but many of us know about the work of blessing water, and the water crystals themselves become more beautiful, photographed, after the water is blessed. And we know ourselves to be made of water, so it is we ourselves that become more beautiful from the inside out, by slowing down and blessing the water we're taking in, the water we're washing with. And the very breath of life, the air that we breathe, being conscious of that, as we've talked about. So slowing down and taking rest with our basic needs, food and water and so on, rest, and with the elements themselves, earth and water and air and fire. So what will you do for yourself today? What Sabbath will you take for yourself today? A moment, an hour, an afternoon, it doesn't matter. What will you experience that will help you know and remember the truth of who you are and feel the aliveness that ensues from that? Let's take rest. And as we take rest, we remember who we are again. We feel that revitalization and that renewal. I invite you to speak this affirmation with me. Together, I take Sabbath to rest, remember who I am, and revitalize my being. So it is.